This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Members of the House of Delegates have considered a number of bills this legislative session that increase the penalties for breaking various laws. At least three of those bills have focused on drug crimes, which Republican lawmakers say is in response to the state's substance abuse epidemic. Les McCormick reports.
According to the West Virginia Health Statistics Center, 818 people died of a drug overdose in 2016, a nearly 13% increase over the previous year. The center also reports 86% of those deaths in 2016 were linked to at least one opioid. Those growing numbers are why Republican legislative leaders say they're pursuing bills like House Bill 2579. The bill increases the minimum amount of jail time attached to a drug trafficking offense, or someone who gets caught bringing drugs into the state. The minimum sentence would increase from 1 to 10 years, the maximum from 15 to 30 years. A judge would have the option to fine the offender $25,000, incarcerate, or both. A handful of members in the House who spoke against the bill argue the penalties are too high and would end up catching addicts rather than traffickers coming in from out of state. Like Democratic Delegate Isaac Spinagle from Pendleton County, who spoke against the bill.
So if you have a kid that's an addict and goes next door, grabs prescription drugs, comes back to a party, and they spread it around, they've just committed this offense, and they're looking at a minimum of 10 years to 30 years in the penitentiary. That's outrageous.
Spinagle pointed out the minimum sentence under the bill is the same minimum for committing a second-degree murder. Supporters of the bill argue the increased penalties will be a deterrent and help keep dealers out of the state, protecting West Virginia citizens, like Republican Delegate Ray Holen of Wirt County. Holen is a retired West Virginia State Police Sergeant and says increasing the penalties is the right way to go.
If we do not increase this and hold a bigger hammer over their head to try to get cooperation to catch the bigger fish per se, then we're losing. We have to have leverage to do our job and to let the police officers do their job and the prosecutors and the judges.
After an hour of debate, House Bill 2579 passed 88-10 and moves across the rotunda to the Senate. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
On Monday night, members of the U.S. House released their bill to replace the Affordable Care Act. Carol Lofton took a look at some of what those changes would mean for West Virginia.
Possibly the biggest deal for West Virginia is that the new bill proposes changing the way that Medicaid is funded. Medicaid is the joint state-federal insurance program that covers more than a third of West Virginians. Right now, the federal government matches state spending for Medicaid dollar for dollar. But under the proposed bill, that funding would change to a per capita cap.
This would drastically change it because it would put strict limits, a strict ceiling, if you will, on how much the federal government is willing to spend.
That's Simon Hayter, an assistant professor of political science at West Virginia University.
This would transfer the Medicaid program from somewhat of an open-ended commitment to improving health care for America's most poor individuals to putting a specific dollar amount on this.
Per capita caps are supported by Republican leaders like West Virginia Representative Evan Jenkins because they save the federal government money and are intended to give states more flexibility in how they spend federal dollars.
Under the per capita, it would be more reflective of the needs of West Virginia and the populations that Medicaid is designed to do.
That was Jenkins last week talking about his support for per capita caps. He had not seen the House proposal at the time of the interview, but did say that he believed the ACA was in a death spiral and supported plans to repeal and replace it.
It's very important to go back and look at traditional Medicaid. It was a safety net program for targeted populations. Well, what's happened is that under the ACA, Medicaid was used as a vehicle to allow able-bodied people based on income level up to 138% of FPL to go in.
FPL is federal poverty line.
So that was one of the Obamacare approaches to expanded insurance is just put more people in Medicaid. Well, what has happened is, as a result, the Medicaid budget and number of lives covered today nationally is three times what it was when Bill Clinton was president. The trajectory right now is through the roof. and is simply unsustainable.
But critics of per capita caps say they don't adjust for increased health care costs.
The problem is when they set that amount, they usually tie it to just CPI, the current inflation.
That's Ted Bettner, executive director of the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy.
And we all know that medical inflation grows 5, 6, 7% a year, much higher than GDP, much higher than other inflation. So that amount of money is really going to decline over time, and that means less benefits.
Hayter says since West Virginians are sicker, older, and more disabled than the national average, our Medicaid costs have similarly been rising at a greater rate.
And so once you put a ceiling on expenditures, it's either going to be more state spending or cuts to eligible enrollees or eligible benefits.
More state spending would likely be difficult for West Virginia, considering the current budget crisis. The Department of Health and Human Resources did not respond to a request for an interview, but said in an emailed statement that, quote, the DHHR will be exploring the impact of any changes. It will take some time. West Virginia is one of 19 states that expanded Medicaid. For now, the expansion population is protected. In 2020, enrollment for expansion would freeze, and states will no longer be able to enroll new participants in the program. By late 2016, more than 170,000 West Virginians gained coverage through the expansion. Legislators say they expect that enrollment in the expansion will slowly decline as enrollees' incomes improve. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with support from the Benedim Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine.
Retired coal miners say their health care options face a 1-2 punch that could leave many of them in the lurch. A repeal of Obamacare and the expiration of miners' health protections could make it hard for any coal retiree to get health care. Becca Schimmel reports.
Ohio Valley retirees have been meeting one-on-one with congressional leaders to talk about the risks to their benefits. Some provisions of the Affordable Care Act are especially important to miners. The so-called Byrd Amendment deals with benefits for miners suffering from black lung, and miners hope it will be restored if the act is repealed. Miners are also concerned about the act's pre-existing condition provision. United Mine Workers Communications Director Phil Smith says the nature of the work makes every retired miner a, quote, walking basket, end quote, of pre-existing conditions.
They don't have the health care that they were promised, and the Miners Protection Act doesn't pass, and the ACA is out the window, then nobody's going to insure them.
Smith says the union hopes the Miners Protection Act might pass before the end of April, when more than 22,000 miners, widows, and beneficiaries could lose their health and pension benefits. Without those guarantees, miners might have to look for health insurance, and many of them have higher rates of cancer, heart disease, and musculoskeletal injuries that make insurance harder to get. Smith worries miners won't be able to afford care. If those retirees wait until they are seriously ill and then seek care at emergency rooms, as many uninsured patients do, rates for those that are insured could go up.
These are people who don't have a whole lot of money to start with. They exist on a small pension, by and large, and a fairly small Social Security check, and for most of them, that's it.
Uncompensated care spending, which is the cost of caring for the uninsured, has gone down since the ACA took effect. With small pensions of about $500 a month, miners will have to make some tough decisions on what to pay for. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:52. Partly sunny and breezy today. Winds could gust as high as 45 miles per hour in some areas. Temperatures in the 50s and low 60s. Mostly clear and breezy tonight with lows in the 30s. Partly sunny on Thursday. Temperatures remaining in the 50s and 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by CAMC Orthopedic Services, specializing in joint replacement and reconstruction and sports medicine. More at camc.org/ortho. And by the Clay Center, presenting Southern Soul Assembly in an Artist in the Round performance of blues, funk, and rock, Friday, March 10th, 8 p.m. Ticket information at theclaycenter.org.
There are more than 700 classrooms in the state being led by substitute teachers, more than a dozen local school systems being monitored for a lack of operational funds, and over the past few years, the State Department of Education has reduced its numbers by some 80 positions. There are challenges facing the state's public education system that Superintendent of Schools Dr. Michael Martorano says will be greatly impacted by the budget decisions lawmakers make this session. Martorano spoke with Ashton Mara on the legislature today.
Well, let's start with that budget. There is some concern that lawmakers will attempt to reduce the amount of funding the state is sending down to the local level. I had the education chairs on earlier in the season, and they said we might reduce the funding, but we'll give them more flexibility in how they spend those dollars. Does that concern you at all for how local school systems pay for the services they provide?
It does, absolutely. I mean, through the years, the last several years, we've made mid-year cuts that have placed great stress on our local school systems. We have to realize that all the dollars that go to education go to pay our teachers, our staff, the transportation, all the services necessary to educate our young people. And right now, we have a number of our school systems on the watch list that could be in deficit at the end of the year. 13 counties are on the watch list. Any further cuts puts further peril in terms of our educational system, and we're trying to protect those classrooms, and I'm greatly concerned by any additional cuts.
Well, explain to us what that watch list means.
It means basically that the school systems may run out of money to provide the necessary services to educate children for 180 days, to provide 200 days of paid performance for our teachers at the local level. And so each year, our local counties have to provide a balanced budget to the state superintendent. And if it's not balanced, then the bottom line is I won't approve that if they're going to run out of money. So they have to make additional deeper cuts. They have to cut staff. They have to cut services and programs that ultimately affect the educational delivery for young people.
And that's exactly what happened in Boone County last summer. We got to a point where Boone County Board of Education couldn't pay for their school system, and they had to go to the legislature and ask for special appropriations to finish out the school year to pay their teachers.
Absolutely.
And school personnel. It's kind of a scary thing, but have lawmakers approached you to say that they're going to ask you to take cuts at the State Department level?
So I have presented my budget at all the various levels through the legislative process. I've made 5 presentations in the last 2 weeks. We've presented all the cuts, and over the last several years, Building 6 is oftentimes defined as the West Virginia Department of Education. We've cut 80 positions over the last several years, and so we're down to a very lean staffing process to ensure that the services are being delivered. We're always able to look at more efficient and effective ways to use our resources. And so I'm looking at that right now to say, where can we take additional cuts if it has to occur? Everybody wants to do their part, but my ultimate goal is to protect our local level and to provide the supports necessary for our teachers, to provide the educational services for our children.
Now, Dr. Martorano, you tend to talk about if lawmakers want to cut at the State Department level, it might put some of the local services at risk, yeah. Some of the things that the State Department provides to county school systems. This year, lawmakers, though, are talking about getting rid of RESAs, the Regional Education Service Agencies, and they don't report to you. I realize
right.
that's not your area, but in the interest of getting rid of these support systems, I guess, does that put more pressure on the State Department?
It does. And so I think we have to be very thoughtful and deliberate in our thoughts about RESAs, recognizing that over the years they have developed into the 8 different levels of which we have within the state. And they do provide services. However, sometimes there's duplicity of effort, you know, occurring in a variety of different ways. And I think that a very thoughtful, deliberate process needs to occur of how we unpack those. How can we be more efficient and effective in delivering those services that our local school systems have become dependent upon in many respects?
That was West Virginia Superintendent of Schools Dr. Michael Martorano speaking with Ashton Mara on the legislature today. Tonight on the program, we'll check in with Senate President Mitch Carmichael and House Speaker Tim Armstead as lawmakers reach the halfway point of the session. The legislature today airs weeknights at 6:30 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.